Because we've got Marks and Spencer over in Gloucester, so I thought, you know.
Okay, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm looking at the camera while I'm doing the Bible verse.
Okay, good.
Why are you looking at the camera?
Oh, okay.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lay down in green pastures.
I would just like to thank them, Sue and Fiona and Ben, for the songs they chose this morning. So when they'd sang about three songs, I crossed off about four paragraphs of my talk. And thank you, Kim. I actually got rid of the middle part of my talk. And Tracy just about finished it off at the end. So it's not going to take that long this morning. You'll be glad to know. We're not going to be too long. I always smile when I hear that. The word that she used, she was edging her bets, wasn't she? She knew that there was a surely somewhere. So she thought, I'll put it at the beginning of every verse. And I actually, when I first heard that, I looked at the meaning, what surely actually means. And I wonder if she actually got it right, because surely means this. It's used to emphasise the speaker's firm belief that what they are saying is true, and their surprise that there is any doubt about it. I'm just going to press that button. This psalm is, I think it's one of the most beautiful psalms. I mean, all psalms are brilliant, but I think this is especially beautiful. I don't know, right at the centre of that psalm in verse 5, it shows a sense of Jesus' love, which we sang about this morning, about his power that he gives us through his Holy Spirit. It's about his peace, his protection, and his provision, which we sang about already this morning. But the reason I was drawn to this particular verse, verse 5, which is what we're going to look at this morning, is because from my experience in the army, I'm just going to get my water. I was at a circus yesterday, and this guy came out with this bag of tricks. And anyway, from my experience of time I spent in the army, and the little experience I had of facing an enemy, the last thing you did was to sit down and have a meal. And in fact, most of the rations that we were issued with were designed to be eaten either hot or cold, so you could eat them on the run. But here, I guess, we're talking about a different type of enemy. And it says in the first part of verse 5, it says this: you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And this is not, and this is why I wrote this bag, because this table that he lays for us, how many sugar did you put in that mud?
Six. But didn't stir.
Yeah, you know, there will be a lot of people here who don't know what we're talking about. this table that he laid for us is actually not a fast food takeaway. It's not a fast food takeaway. It's a sense of his provision that he wants to give us for this part of the journey that we're on with him. I say, we're looking at a different type of enemy now from what I experienced in the army. You know, if we're followers of Jesus, if we're trying to expand the kingdom, we're going to have enemies. 1 Peter 4, verse 12 says this: dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Now, I can imagine that, you know, this is if you're sharing the gospel with anybody for the first time, that's probably not the best verse to use. John 15, verse 19, says this. If the world hates you, and I think we sang a song about it, if the world hates you, remember it hated me before it hated you. It hated Jesus before it hates us. And I wouldn't mind guessing that there's not anybody here who thinks that the whole world hates them. But sometimes it feels a bit like it, doesn't it, when things are not going right. Over the last 18 months, you know, we've been going through some strange times and not being able to get out and do things that we normally do. And it seems that things just keep going wrong. Job situations, finance situations, relationship situations. So who is our enemy? Who is our enemy? Our enemy definitely is the devil, because if we're followers of Jesus, he isn't like that. Past sin. In fact, I think Kim mentioned past sin for me earlier on. So I'll tell you a little story that I was on the prayer meeting with Dave Smith a few weeks ago, and on the prayer meeting, and my phone was ringing. And Dave said to me, "Do you need to take that phone, that call?" So I said, "No, it's a customer. I'm going to ring her back." And he said two or three times, "Do you not need?" She rang me back again. "Do you not need to take that call?" I said, "No, no." I said, "I'm thinking of an excuse of how I'm going to tell her why I couldn't take her call." Her name's Rowena. So when we'd finished the prayer meeting, I got on the phone and told Dave I'm going to ring her back and tell her what I was doing when she rang. So I rang her back and I said, "Hi, Rowena. Sorry I couldn't take your call. I said, I'm in a prayer meeting with somebody from our church." And she said, "Oh, right, okay." She said, "Do you do that every morning?" I said, "Yeah, most mornings at 10:30. She said, "Okay," she said, "I won't ring you at 10:30. I said, no, ring me. You could join in. And she said, very seriously, she said, "Graham, I've got far too much sin in my past to be able to do anything like that. Far too much sin." So I had a chat with her a bit about my background, where I've come from, and we're going to continue that conversation at some later stage, I'm sure. The other enemy we've got is other people, isn't it? People who've spoke words over you. Maybe when I was thinking when I was writing this, that when I was 15, about to leave school, we used to leave school at 15 and get a job. One of the teachers suddenly became an expert careers advisor. So I walked into this office, and this teacher said to me, "So Spring, what are you going to do when you leave school?" And I said, "I'm going to join the army." And he said, "Well, you may as well, because you won't be any good for anything else." I did actually hang on to that 2.5 years later when I joined up and done my basic training. And I came back home on leave just before I was posted out to Borneo, where there was a war going on. I thought, should I pop down to the school and see if he's still there? But I didn't. You know, negative thoughts that we have like that breeds doubt. It breeds doubt in ourselves, who we are in Christ. It breeds doubt about where's God when all this trouble's going on? Doubting who we are in Christ. So what does the shepherd do when we're going through all these troubles, all these trials and tribulations? He lays a table for us in the presence of our enemies. This is not a fast food takeaway. This is a banquet. Some translations call it a banquet. It's not a fast food takeaway. This is not a celebration when we've got over all our problems. It's not a celebration when we've sorted out our finances. It's not a celebration when we've sorted out our job situation, our relationship situations. It might be health when we get better, when we're feeling better. This is a celebration while the enemy are still there. While the enemy is still there. He prepares this table. It's a picture of his abundant provision for what we need at this point in the journey with him. What we need at this point in the journey with him. He wants to show us the way out of the valley. He wants to show us the way out of the desert. You know, it says in Matthew, doesn't it? Matthew 28, 18. I will be with you even until the very end. And he does all this while the enemy is still there. He does all this while we're still in that situation that we're in, that health situation, that financial situation, that job situation. He meets us where we are today. It says in Isaiah 25, verse 6, it says, on this mountain, the Lord will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and finest wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds us, all people, the sheet that covers all nations. That's what he does. On the top of a mountain where everything can be seen, while our enemy is still there, while we're still going through these situations. In the Song of Solomon, it says, in fact, there's a song about it as well, I'm sure. I'm not going to try and sing it. Okay, sorry, don't panic. It says, he brought me to the banqueting hall. You know, we talk about being invited into the throne room, don't we? You imagine when you've got all this stuff going on and things not right. Our shepherd wants to take us by the hand and he wants to bring us into his banqueting hall. Does anybody feel like they might want to go for this meal with our shepherd? Richard does. He's first in the queue, Ben's second. But you know, then, the amazing thing is, he brings us into his banqueting hall, and the next line says, his banner of love over me, and you, and you, and you. His banner of love over us. He does this in front of the enemy because he wants to give the enemy a message. He wants to tell the enemy, these are my people and I am their God. This is my flock and I am their shepherd. Because Jesus has got the victory. Jesus has beaten the enemy. You know, I've not really had much experience in banquets. But I do remember when I talk a lot about when I was in the army, but it didn't actually take up 22 years of my life, so I had a lot of things happen. But one of the things, when I was a sergeant major, when we had regimental dinners, I had to go into the sergeant's mess and inspect the table layout. I didn't have a clue what I was looking at, to be honest. I remember when I was a kid growing up, I don't think we had two cups and saucers the same colour. In fact, that is not quite true. I remember my mum, special occasions, I think it was Christmas and somebody's birth, my mum used to get this set of plates out, blue plates with a Japanese type drawing painted on it. I don't know what it was called. Anybody know what it was called? Sorry? That's the one. She used to get it. So we did have those. So anyway, I used to go, I didn't go, but I had a really good sergeant who knew all about the etiquette of front of house. And used to go in and the tables would be laid out, the knives and forks would be positioned, the regimental silver down the centre of the table. You know, this was not a fast food takeaway. This was laid out with lots of care and love and respect. Give a sense of calm, unhurriedness, peace. Our shepherd's peace. You know, Martin spoke a few weeks ago about resting in Jesus. He mentioned, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's not an aggressive action. That's a loving action. Sometimes we just, when we've got all these things going around in our heads, we use the phrase, you know, our mind's playing tricks with us. I always think the devil's playing tricks with our minds. When all this is going on, he just wants to lead us into the banqueting hall and sit at his table with him. This is not a fast food takeaway. Finest food, spiritual food that we need for this part of the journey. Do you want to get refreshed this morning? I've already been refreshed by Kim. Poured water over my head. Well, not exactly. You know, Isaiah 40 verse 1 says, comfort, comfort my people, says our God. Do you want to receive what he's got for you this morning? You want to receive his peace, his provision for what you need at this point in the journey with him? He wants to bring you into the banqueting hall. He wants to put a banner over the top to say, enemy, keep off. I love these people. They are my people and I'm their God. It might be that actually everything's okay with you. You know, I used to sit at the back of SCF years and years ago thinking, oh, it's all right for all them people, but they don't know what problems I've got. But maybe everything's okay with you. But I mean, the shepherd still wants you to come. He still wants you to come and spend time with him. Get refreshed. Recommit ourselves to him. And I just want to go back to the regimental dinners that we used to have. You know, when you go to a wedding, you get a seating plan. In fact, when we go away on leaders' conferences, there are sometimes seating plans. You go and have a look and say, I'm sitting next to Roger Spires again. He's going to be talking about that football team in Birmingham. Well, it's the same at a regimental dinner. There is a seating plan. But the difference is that actually most people have a rough idea about where they're going to sit. Because the way that the table is laid out, you have a top table with all the senior warrant officers, regimental sergeant major, guest of honour, who is normally the colonel. And then as the table comes down, it's done on seniority. So you get the senior staff sergeants, and then you get the sergeants, and the guy right at the bottom of the table is the most junior sergeant in the regiment. Well, the good news about this table that our shepherd lays for us is that there isn't a seating plan. There isn't a seating plan. And everybody is invited. Everybody. It says in Galatians 3, verse 2, you are all sons and daughters through faith in Christ. We are all sons and daughters through faith in Christ. We are all invited to the banqueting hall. We're all invited to this table that our shepherd has laid for us. And if you don't know this shepherd that I'm talking about, then you've got a special invitation this morning to come. We're going to sing, Fiona's going to sing a song for us in a little while, and it's taken from Isaiah 55. It says, come, all who are thirsty. Come, all who are weak. Come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Underneath your chairs, there are some post-it notes and some pens. And there's two tables that we've got out, one over there and one over there. And if you want to receive some of that peace that our shepherd offers, his promises, the power through his Holy Spirit, the provision that we need for this part of the journey with him, why don't you, and I know we're supposed to be social distancing, but just in your little groups that you're sitting in, your family groups, why don't you write your name on one of them post-it notes and just Just go and put it on the table. Just as a gesture to say, Lord, I want to be with you at this table. You know, there's, I think it's from the book of James, verse 5. It says something like this. I'm going to get this wrong, so any Bible scholars out there. It says, is any of you ill? Is any of you sick? If you are, then call the elders. Now, we've only got one elder here today. Get them to pray for you and anoint you with oil. And I know there's a problem with anointing with oil. I'm going to be talking about anointing oil next week. But Martin's going to be praying for us afterwards. And if you've got anything that you need special prayer for, when you come and sit down, just put your hand up. You can put your hands up. You know, when I always say this, when we put our hands up when we're praying, it doesn't actually make it any more spiritual, does it? Not really. But it's just to acknowledge where our healing comes from. It's not coming from the person who's praying for us. God uses that person, but we acknowledge where that comes from, where that healing, that power, those words of prophecy that we've heard, where they come from. So we're all invited this morning. Come to the table. Come.